What's happening, Charlotte? Four transplants and a microphone, where we talk about all things Charlotte small business, moving here, doing business here, all that good stuff. Today we are only three transplants, the regular three, Jack, Brian, and Brandon, so we'll skip the intros.
The best three.
The best three, top three, top tier quality right here. Assuming there's only one tier of quality.
And no particular order.
Right, exactly, yeah. So we're doing some updates. We got, business is always obviously changing all the time for all of us. And we just hosted an AI event the other day. We've got some new clients, some new projects going on, some new team members, whole bunch going on. And I do think, kind of taking it broadly, symbolizing what's going on in Charlotte, that things are still moving pretty strongly.
Yeah.
I was actually amazed at how much, how strong the economy or new business is here compared to like LA.
Yeah.
It feels very robust here in comparison to the LA market that I deal with too.
It does, right? Yeah, it's, I don't really have other like deep knowledge of other markets to compare to, but without a true comparison point, everybody that I know or that I keep up with that is making an effort to grow their business, even if it's a small effort, they're succeeding. And it's, I mean, Brian's famous quote of like, are you growing in a market that's growing or are you growing on your own? A lot of these people are growing on their own. I'm totally butchering your quote, but
that's okay.
People are doing good stuff.
I mean, actually, it makes me sound a whole lot smarter because you couldn't repeat it. So.
That's just because I don't listen smart when you talk.
And eloquent.
Yeah, I mean, we were, I will say our updates, we were international, but now we're just nationwide, so.
Oh, all right.
We lost our one Canadian customer.
Ooh, actually, I just lost Germany, too. I'm no longer international.
Yeah. I mean, that backup contract was huge.
Yeah.
$100. $100 a month made us nationwide. I mean, international.
I was talking to a guy in Australia. We're potentially going to do something together. And I was like, yep, screw it. Nationwide or international. Done.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I'm just national. Are you international, Brian? Are you got anybody? No. But you're across, you're like literally across the country. I mean, you're out in Utah and Florida.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's not broadly, but I mean, as we keep trying to connect with people, I mean, this is kind of going back to when we talked a little bit like LinkedIn strategy and stuff. I mean, it's developing over time, but
yeah.
6 months ago, I didn't really have a thorough offering to take out there. It was more people hear you on podcasts and stuff like that. And like, I liked what you said. What could we do together? And then it's like, tell me what you want.
And give then it's me
like,
money.
Here's what we can do, you know? And now it's a little bit more like, here's what we're doing. Who's interested in having this done? So it's evolving, but yeah.
That's a fun turn though. Cause like,
oh, yeah.
Hey, what can we do? Versus here's what we're doing. If you're in, you're in, great.
And quite honestly, it allows you to sift out. I mean, the answer is no longer just yes. It's now that doesn't fit with what we kind of built because I can't do it all. I've got to have other people do it.
Yeah.
So
I've been going through that too. It's, you know, I mean, the cliche is it's good to say no or it's okay to say no or whatever the business phrase is for that. And I'm starting to get there because I can do a lot of different things, but I'm the most efficient at the things that I do. And I've got a team. I've got a full-time operations person, a part-time analyst, and the part-time analyst will go full-time pretty soon here. And it's not just in my head and like, yeah, I can figure it out on the fly. It's no, I have to make a whole process if we're doing something new and we got to teach the people on the team. We got to educate the customer. This is not a normal thing and blah, blah, blah. It's just, here's a normal thing that we do. Boom, done, easy.
Yeah, and I actually watched a Fall Thinger guy's making wood bowls and he's like, do what you want to do and don't do anything else. He goes, the minute you start venturing out of the things that you're good at and enjoy doing, he goes, problems start coming up. And I mean, when you're starting out in business, obviously that's a luxury that most people don't have. You're trying to get the bills paid and you paid. So, you know, taking what you have to get to the point where you can actually be more selective. It's a good place to be.
Canada's calling back there.
I know.
One international.
It'd be the West Coast.
No, but that's true. I mean, even the wood bowl guy, right? Just
yeah, it's just, you know, do what you enjoy doing, because if you start going outside your comfort zone, not comfort zone, but really getting into things you don't like doing,
yeah,
you don't enjoy what you're doing anymore, and that causes more problems and stress. And typically, and I heard this a long time ago, when you start doing things that you don't normally do and are not equipped to do, that's when things go poorly for the customer and for yourself, because you're way outside of what you're set up to do.
Right.
And when you're not set up to do those things, you can't deliver the product the way it should be delivered, and then it just turns out poorly for everybody.
That's right. Exactly right.
Yeah.
It's exactly right. It's fun to like, ooh, like maybe we'll try this, and then it always ends up, even if it is fun, it'll probably take too much time or it's not profitable or something.
Right. And
it's just stick to your strengths kind of thing.
Right. And if it's going to be a new offering, that's a whole different thing.
Sure.
But if it's something just way outside your wheelhouse, and the other part of that is in that same sense, it was make sure that you were able to deliver the product in the way it was designed to be delivered. Don't make compromises. Don't make anything else. This is the way the product is. This is the way it comes. And it's because it's the best result for you and the customer that it's going to be successful.
Yeah.
When you start breaking things, that's when things go totally wonky. And every time I broke that rule, it's been the same result.
Every single time.
Yeah. I mean, without a doubt.
Yeah. So you and I were talking last night, actually, about some potential new stuff with the focusing on insurance agents and building a whole platform for them, more or less. Is there anything you got going on now that's a new or big change, or is it?
We've started doing, or at least I'm in the process of developing, and I did a mini version of it for a prospect for audits, like assessment audit or cybersecurity audits and assessments, and going through and looking at individual devices and their overall cybersecurity health. Mm-hmm. We do it internally, but never really gone out and used it as a tool to go. It's not even a prospecting tool. It's just like, this is where you are right now, and these are the recommendations that we can offer and kind of move from there. It's not a way to gain business from them. It's just a third party to say, this is where you are. This is what you have. Here are the recommendations. You can either present it to your current IT team, or we can point you in the right direction. But that's kind of the focus of going. It's the next, I think, thing for the IT field.
That's
because the support's going away. The hardware really is going away. Everything's going virtual, so you don't really need equipment. It just, every 2 years, our industry is completely upended and changes the way it's done. So
yeah. So you're going out there and just saying like, hey, this isn't necessarily good or bad. We're not trying to sell anything. This is just where you are. Here's some expectations. You may want to think about X, Y, or Z. Here's some risks, because this is where you are, and this is where the tool's put.
Yes. I can walk up to your house and tell you it's blue. It's not my opinion. It's what it is.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, you have choices. The paint's peeling. It's that kind of assessment. I don't care. I'm not here to judge. That's nothing what it is. This is where you stand right now, and these are the risks, and this is what you need to do to mitigate those risks, or just accept that they exist.
Right.
Because they're either too expensive to solve, or you don't care.
Yeah.
So it's on you at that point.
So when are you talking to a new prospect or an existing client or something like that, and that's where this comes up in conversation? Are you offering this to people on the website? Or?
Yeah, so I mean, it'll be to people that we'll be going out to and just presenting to new companies, but internally with our existing customers, because the model that they're on is maybe not proactive, and this would be a way to proactively get them to kind of move into the future.
Okay. Yeah. Very nice.
Yeah. I think anything that you fundamentally look at, and we all do this, but like, especially in small business, you have the advantage of being quick and nimble versus bigger companies. And so when you see a slight shift in how what you're offering is received, like even in the 6 months that we'd say the economy tightened. I don't even know what we'd call it, but we'll just say at least in the 6 months.
Puckered up.
Yeah. that interest rates caused a little clenching. But like in that, being able to go in, I mean, quick adjustments you make in your business. Like when we do coaching, in a lot of cases, it has the intentionality to be perpetual, right? I mean, because business owners keep having new challenges and you keep working with them. But just being able in the short term to be able to articulate a difference, like we've now offered things on the consulting end that are only 90 days long.
Right.
But you get a result in 90 days. And there's a higher tolerance, I think, for people to say, I might have paid you for 2 years. I just don't want to commit to that. I'd rather pay you in 90-day chunks and have the option to, like, not renew.
Yeah.
And being able to adjust and pivot, I guess, and stuff is really kind of the art of the small business.
Yeah. And so that's one of the big changes for you too. It's kind of chunking that out since the last time we probably did an update on this podcast. And you've got a few team members now, some contractors working with you too. So it's, tell me about the assessment. It's a 90 day here. Let's go dive into the business strategy and the people, or what are we talking?
Well, I mean, in a lot of cases, businesses should know where they're at, even if they don't want to sell immediately. Like, how many times, if you own a home, do you still go on to, is it Zillow or Zwillow, and you check your, I don't know, but you check your home value.
You bet on the internet before?
Hang on, my dial-up is making that noise. Yeah. I got to wait a second.
I got a fax coming in.
But my beeper just went off, sorry. But like, you see a house sell in your neighborhood, and you're like, well, why did that one sell for that price? And so you're curious, so you benchmark.
Right.
Well, what we try to offer to businesses is that, like, almost innately, every business owner thinks their business is worth more than it is. That's number one. But when somebody, if you were to ever go sell your house, or you were ever to go sell your business, unless you're in that spot where it's just such a disparity between the amount of businesses available and the people willing to buy that they'll just sight unseen give you like a cash offer that's way above your value, 9 times out of 10, you've got to take a look at it and you're like, ooh, I've got to paint the walls in my house. I've got to fix up a few things just to get it to the value that somebody would assume it is already. What we try to do is we come in those 90 days, and instead of just telling you, here's a book value of your business, like the Kelly Blue Book value of your car, like answer these 12 questions and we'll tell you what it's worth.
Right.
Like, we actually come in and look inside the hood or under the hood of the business. So we assess your organizational capability, because in the end, if I'm buying your company, I'm probably buying your employees. And if that's the case, that doesn't show up on my balance sheet. That doesn't show up in my consideration. And that isn't an entry in the Kelly Blue Book version of valuation.
Right.
So what we do is we kind of come in, look at that, give the business owner an idea to say, hey, if you think you want it to be worth this when you want to go sell it, here's the gap. Here's how we think you could get there. And we come up with this in 90 days and we say, here's your roadmap. Or we might look at it and say, hey, if you wanted to generate another $300,000 of value annually in this business in terms of profit or whatever it is, here's how we could partner with you to deliver it. And so those 90 days give them a roadmap, but it also says, you know, you've only got resources at your disposal of, you know, and you guys have heard this, but, you know, your individual time as an owner, you've got your people, like who on your team could you assign to go deliver this objective? And if you don't have the people, then you've got your money. And so what we give them an option is, if it's your time or your team, here's your path. If it's your money, here's how you could help. We could partner with you and help you get there so you don't have to do the work.
Okay.
And so we do that. And so not every 90-day assessment ends in another project. That's just an option. But, I mean, we're whole doing the 90-day assessments, and we live up to what we say, which is we're going to give you an output that you can be actionable with and take those steps to go get that $300,000 of value, yeah, if that's what you want.
That's pretty good. Pay whatever the price is. We don't have to get into that, but pay X to get way more than X, whatever you're going for.
Correct.
Is this just for folks potentially selling in the near future?
No, I mean, actually I'd probably say half of the projects that we've got going on right now are for just people that are like, I just want to increase the value of my company. I'm not hung up on being able to, because they're not in a sale mode right now. They're in a growth mode.
Yeah.
But you got to know where you're starting from. Like, what am I worth? And then what I'm doing, what's it add to that? And so that's what really we try to, you know, bubble to the surface. We use valuation modeling for sure. Mm-hmm. Also to be able to like incorporate in adjustments and changes that reference, you know, your NAICS code. So you're looking at other industry companies that, in the industry, that are very similar to benchmark.
Industry benchmark.
Yeah. Right. And then you get a chance to look at like, if I made these tweaks, what would they be worth? Mm-hmm. And then we also then come back and evaluate things that might slow you down from getting there. Like, if you don't have the capability and people, we may recommend like, hey, you know what? You've got enough people. You need an HR department. Not every manager is an HR manager. You actually need somebody overseeing that, because you're hiring people and they're leaving almost sequentially, you know,
yeah,
or something like that. I'm not saying that's one. Or, hey, you've got the people. They just don't have the processes and systems in place to be highly efficient. And so your scale hurdle, you keep running into that wall. So we're trying, and it's usually companies that are getting close to a scale hurdle because they realize like things are tightening up, the clenching's coming in to play again. But
the puckering.
Yeah. And so as we built out our business and we started going that route, you mentioned the hiring. I mean, that's one of the things the last couple of years I've been working on, which is, you know, being the salesperson in the business and doing a lot of the coaching and executive coaching, you start running out of hours real quick.
Yeah.
And so I need to find resources that can replicate it. So I built systems for those things so that I can confidently know that I can hire, instead of hiring somebody that's already able, I'll hire somebody that's willing and help develop them and train them to become able.
Yeah.
And so that allows me to be a little bit quicker on my feet to get the right people in.
Those are both good dudes. I like them.
Yeah. Willing and able.
Yeah.
and when you get them both, then you're really happy.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But yeah, we've added four people on the team in the last 6-7 weeks, and we've added two additional, like, kind of for hire consultants. They're
nice. Guns for hire.
Yeah. Yeah.
The mercenaries.
Yeah.
But they're working on projects where their subject matter expertise really comes into play.
Yeah. So you've got the core team now, I would say, and then really a whole pool of SMEs to pull from.
That's right.
Brandon and I included. I don't know. Have you gotten an invite? I haven't either, but I don't know.
I was waiting until after your anniversary party, but then I was going to see. So.
Smart. Yeah. We want to see how that shakes out first.
Yeah. There's any survivors.
Right. Exactly. No, that's pretty good, though. That's some serious growth, especially since the last time we did an update for any of us on this podcast. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
I did get your invite, and when I went to accept, it said you've already accepted. Your invite has already been accepted. I was like, that was very presumptuous of Jack.
Oh, see, I put a nice message to it as well.
Yeah. So.
hard no.
About friggin' time.
Yeah. We got a couple interesting comments. Some people very genuine, like, can I bring any party supplies? And then Brian, like, this has been a long time coming. Come on.
I was going to put, which direction does the pineapple point? Right. So, before I commit.
Right. Socks are optional.
We got a candle in the window. Yeah, that'll be a fun time. We got some games and stuff. And most importantly, free drinks and free pizza. So,
what's going on in the pineapple world?
Just the swinger. I mean, the anniversary party. Yeah, we're coming up on 3 years, which is pretty fun. So that's why we're hosting the party. Building the team, that's going well. And you guys both did house analogies, so I got to come up with something. So we're offering some more like product-based things, a little bit more standard template type things. So we're always going to be a custom shop. Everything that we do up until this point has been custom. So using the house analogy, we're always building the single-family home.
Right.
That's always, we're building it to your specs, we're working with the architect, blah, blah, blah. Now we're offering products that are out there. So like if you're a consultant or a bookkeeper or whatever, and you work with 20, 30 clients of your own, we'll build you a dashboard that's for you, your logo, your colors, your metrics, all that stuff. And then you use it for all 30 of your clients. So keeping with the house analogy, you either want the single family home. Great. We can do that. Custom dashboard and analytics. Or you want to build a townhome community with 20, 30 houses that are set to, you know, your standards for whatever a model home looks like in that townhome community. And then we build that for you too. So those are rolling out. We're offering one that's a QuickBooks performance dashboard. That's what we're trying out here. Pulls things off the P&L, but 100% of people that have tested this out, the beta testers and existing folks that have been more in the single family home plan, it's a night and day difference between a black and white P&L on a piece of paper versus this online automated web-based dashboard.
I have that burned into your memory forever now.
Yeah. Yeah, I gotta need a new name for the typings people. There we go.
We needed some sounds.
Yeah. So we're starting with the QuickBooks one, and it's, you know, we're looking to partner with folks that are in that sort of consultant or even financial role, CFAs, CPAs, anybody, business coaches, all that good stuff, offering it for solopreneurs too. And right. That's number one. We've got an architect specific one coming out. Brad and I were talking about some insurance agent specific things. We've got 7 Mile Solutions, which is Brian and I's joint business, that's going to be targeting, I guess, pretty similar audience, coaches and consultants.
Yep.
And that's going to be really cool, too, when it rolls out.
Yeah, I'm going out of my way to equip my competition.
Yeah, so. Yeah, literally. Yeah. Yeah.
Saying that out loud just sounded dumb.
I know. That's why I paused. I was like, crap, is that what we're doing?
I've often had that as like, what product can I come and give to the MSP market? Because that is where you're going to make your money.
Yeah. Well, I think in the end, I've always held this notion that there's far less consultants and coaches to fit the number of businesses that actually could use what they're offering. So
not even could use, but need.
Yeah. And that's the thing is it's, we're not fighting over who gets which customers. We're fighting over the acceptance of coaches and consultants as a viable option versus not.
Who will actually realize that they need what they...
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, because it's all good stuff. Everybody needs it, whether they know it or not,
right,
to some extent, right?
Well, you're just
or at some time or another. It's not right, that yeah, you constantly fair. Need it.
Yeah, too. Yeah. You're going to struggle, and you can either accelerate the struggle or... There's things, I don't care how good you are or what you do, there's always something you don't know or know how to do.
Yeah, and it's even if things are going great, they could be going awesome. You could always be doing something more efficiently or more strategically or better or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, that's why they have a CEO and then they have a bunch of C-suite people that are really good at their individual disciplines.
Yep.
The head guy doesn't run them all.
Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of what we're going for with 7 Mile, or as Brandon calls it, 3 Mile Island. It's sort of enabling that of let's make the strategy kind of hit you in the face with it and the numbers hit you in the face with it. So it's super obvious, super easy, super quick. And there's going to be a lot of legs to that, too. It's going to be fun. We're going to go industry-specific at some point. We'll dive into that when we officially launch, but that'll be a fun one. 7 Miles.
That is definitely a future episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's going to be back-to-back.
First, we have to see if we can get out of Key West without getting arrested. So.
Or at least not imprisoned.
That would also be good.
Check and check.
Oh.
Yeah. But that's our updates, I guess. I mean, again, we obviously talk with a lot of people in the small business world. Had an event here at TechWorks. We are recording from TechWorks. Thank you again today.
Yeah, that's good. Sometimes I forget. I just think I'm just working.
You're just at the office. Yeah. You're just here.
I've been looking for the waitress for like an hour. I can't find her.
Yeah, this could be our first non-restaurant.
She's in the kitchen drinking beer.
Yeah.
The viewership's going to drop where everybody's sober for this.
Right, I know. But no, TechWorks is great. It seems like everybody that we talked to, that's where I was going. With the event yesterday, we had some folks in for the AI event and stuff like that. And everybody that was there and everybody that I've been talking to, at least, they may not be doing exactly what we're doing in terms of growth. And I'm not saying we're the cream of the crop or anything like that. But everybody is growing and, at the very least, efficiently succeeding, I'll say it, in Charlotte.
Yeah, yes. it's a great place to be growing a business, starting a business, and if you're to that point, selling a business.
Yeah,
so.
And if you're selling a business, call Brian.
Yeah, or want to at some point.
Yeah, yeah.
Not that I'm buying, but no. I'll make a prettier coat of paint on that sucker.
Oh, we brought it back with a house.
There we go.
Nice, well done.
All right,
team.
Cool.
If I had a perfect day, I would have it start this way. Open up the fridge and have a tall boy. Yeah. Then I'd meet